Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson here for AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 6, Episode 3, titled Forget About Dre. Jerry Ferreira is in the building as our guest for AfterBuzz TV. Let's go!
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz...
I never took a straight path to win.
They brought it back.
The OG.
The OG song. They brought
pressure
it back.
Works.
Yes. Yes.
Here, pressure works.
Good job, Fitty.
What's up, everybody? I'm Bam Erickson, and I would like to introduce a panel. To my left, we have Jill Monroe.
Hey, thanks for checking us out.
And to my other, to my far left, we have...
Robin Ayers. Your girl, Robin Ayers.
And
as you can see, we have a very special, another special guest in the building. If you guys remember Cornelia, I'm sure you do. What's up, Cornelia? It's good to have you filling in for Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Jimmy's not here today, but, you know, Cornelia, she'll be taking good care of us.
Shout out to Jimmy. Thank you guys for having me.
Yes, of course.
Welcome back.
Good to be
back. Definitely.
And joining us via Skype from New York, he plays Joe Proctor. Please welcome the one and only Jay Ferrer.
Yeah!
How are you? What's going on, guys?
Hey.
So, speaking of the theme song, so Jerry, let's ask you, do you have a preference? Did you like the original version? Do you like the remix? What's your opinion?
Look, I mean, the original is, you know, kind of part of the reason why I got hooked. I mean, it just kind of draws you in. I don't have any problems with the remix. The remix is great. It was nice to go back and revisit the original. It was nice this episode 3 to hear that again.
You said that oh so smoothly. Mm-hmm. That was so smooth.
I mean, you know, he can't piss off the boss, even though the fans bullied him into
Right. Yeah. That's so exactly what happened.
We're happy.
50 never gets bullied.
Right. So before we get into your storyline and what happened in last night's episode, I would like just a little bit of the backstory between Proctor and his ex-wife, Lindsay, because I do wonder, you know, there's this whole thing of, did Proctor set Lindsay up? I'm more inclined to think that they were married, they partied and did drugs, maybe recreational, and then maybe she got hooked. And then once she was becoming addictive, then you had to kind of step in and you had to take custody of your child. But what is the actual backstory between Joe Proctor and Lindsay?
So, as was pitched to me, now this is, you know, quite a few years ago when I first came onto the show by Courtney Kemp, the show creator, they were married as his ex-wife, and obviously they have a little girl together. And similar to what you said, there was some partying, although she was probably partying a lot harder than he was. When things started to go south, he took his daughter, but he cleaned up your act. That was almost his way of keeping his daughter, by keeping her a mess and kind of still using. That was kind of a bad negotiating point to keep custody of his daughter. So her cleaning up her act and starting to get her life together is sort of a bad vibe for Joe Proctor, because he's now that much closer to sharing custody and maybe even losing custody down the road.
Okay.
Okay.
So you just admitted, basically, you had some shady ways in the past.
I don't think it's a big secret anymore that Joe Proctor definitely doesn't know where the lines are, like who's on what side, good or bad. I think he looks at everybody as both good and bad all at the same time. I don't think he respects some of the federal prosecutors that are coming at him on the other side of the courtroom.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Many times I think we've said in this studio that we would like Proctor as our attorney.
Right.
I mean, real life, seriously.
Oh, yeah. I mean, minus the booger sugar, you know. Sugar. We would like Proctor. And I think, especially now that the wife is getting clean, we're starting to see where the daughter stands. Because in this episode, we got to hear from her. Well, kind of. She broke down crying. But this whole time, we were assuming that she wanted to be with her father only.
But technically... The way Lindsay did it, it was enticing. Hey, we get to get our nails done. I don't feel like she felt like she was picking sides.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I felt like she was like, oh God, I don't know what the hell to do.
Yeah.
And she broke down, started crying. So I wouldn't say she's necessarily in favor of her mom. She was just put in a situation where she saw mommy, daddy, she saw the judge, and she didn't know what the hell to do.
Yeah, I don't. I can say that.
I mean, what I remember from shooting that and then also watching it back, talking about like when we first come in and we see my daughter, you know, it's also the first time we kind of see my wife, and she is a mess. So if anything, what I read from that too was like the daughter was a little scared maybe to possibly be spending that much time with her mom because she only knows her mom is kind of a mess. So it's probably an unsafe situation for her. But it's still her mom, you know. I think she's such a wonderful actress. Matea is her name, and she's just like those scenes pull at your heart. You know, you see a little 10-year, 11-year-old girl crying. It's like, oh, all right, fine. You go stay with your mom for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What I find interesting, I really like Proctor and Lindsay's relationship because, as I've mentioned before, that you know the. One of the themes of the show is this power struggle between both, between Ghost and Tasha. So now that Lindsay's back into the picture, she's gotten clean. Now there's a power struggle between the two. And now what Lindsay's trying to do is she's trying to use her leverage because she knows she was married to Proctor, so she knows all this dirt. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, then you add in all of the things that Joe Proctor is affiliated with, and now possibly the tides can turn. And so, what do you guys think about that?
Lindsay might get the upper hand?
Yeah, like Lindsay now is using her power position.
Lindsay picked the wrong side.
Well, and two, we got to think long game because Proctor is in the middle of all of this. He's in the middle of Tommy's shenanigans. He's in the middle of Ghost's shenanigans. Remember, Proctor helped clean up a dead body out of his own apartment. So long game, it might not be in the worst interest for his ex-wife to get clean because if Proctor go down, who gonna keep the kid? She needs to stay clean.
That's a great point.
But her objective is, I feel like Lindsay's objective is to pull and get the child herself, which is why she's doing this, because she knows of his past. And then on top of that, if you add on to the fact that he did clean up the body, he has a laptop. I feel like I'm sorry. So Jerry, so let me just explain. I have this desire to want to kill people on the show.
So
I think with Lindsay now trying to play her position, I think she can possibly get you. I feel like she can possibly get Proctor and Cooper killed, and then she takes.
He's full killing you off.
She gets full custody and she goes off. I mean,
he's not
giving you the face.
He's giving you that face.
We disagree.
He's
not feeling
it. Listen, all I'll say is it's power. You know, everybody's life is on the line every episode. You just don't know what's going to happen, who's going to get it from who, from where. It's kind of what makes the show intoxicating, because sometimes it's people you love, sometimes it's people you love rooting against, so you just don't know. Those are some good theories, though. Those are really interesting.
So I have a question. Because we've been, you know, really just trying to pick apart the scene where you hide the laptop. The laptop. Everybody wants to know about the laptop. Now, can we just forget about it, or is it really going to make an appearance back on the show?
Well, listen, judging from the reaction I get in the streets, walking around my neighborhood, no one's forgetting about it. People yell that from me from blocks away. Like, you better get rid of that laptop. So I don't think anyone's forgetting about it, at least the audience, the fans. You know, there's some interesting stuff on that laptop. And, you know, it's what can I say here?
Careful. We like it.
I mean, it's around. Look, it's certainly out there. The laptop is still out there. Like, it, I don't know. Maybe we'll see what happens with it. Maybe not. But it's getting hot for everybody. People are starting to make strong choices.
I want to pose this question. So so both Ghost and Tommy were asked by Proctor to find out details of Alicia's of the trial, and Proctor gives the info to Tommy over Ghost. I mean, I know why he did that, but I just wanted to just throw that out there that Proctor chose to give the information to Tommy and not Ghost.
Well, he gave it to both.
Yeah, I thought he gave it to both.
Yeah, because both showed up.
He gave it to both, right?
Mm-hmm. I thought he gave it only to Ghost. I'm sorry. I thought he only gave the information to Tommy.
He had to for clarification.
Jerry's like, I don't know what I can answer.
You guys are gonna have to tune in and get more pieces of information. It's getting a little spoilery in here.
I assume that Proctor gave the information to Tommy because only because he knows that Tommy is itching to kill him, so anything that Tommy wants from Proctor technically has to follow the order of Tommy, being that Tommy wants to kill him.
But what does it say about the fact that Ghost actually showed up at the same location with his own plan? Doesn't that say that he also had the same information that Tommy did?
How else would he have gotten it? Unless, well, I mean, I guess he could have.
So who was the person who texts old boy with the cup of water?
That was the other question, is who did the text?
Because maybe the person who texts old boy was the one who got the information from old boy, an inside source, and the other person got it from Proctor.
Okay, I think that, I don't know, you cleared this up, Jerry, but I think that Tommy who had that information to text the guy, because remember Tommy said, oh, and what's your boy... Like your inside connect, because we're gonna need that too. So I'm
because he's gonna have to run. They said something about him paying him to leave after that happened. So,
but then also another question in regards to that is, how the hell did Ghost think that he was gonna pull this off by himself going solo? But that's something that we'll talk about more. But let's get more into Jerry. So any other questions about his character before we go into some other stuff?
Well, did you want to say something, Jerry? You look like you were on the brink of saying something.
No, all I'm going to say is, like, if Proctor did tell Tommy, I mean, there could be a lot of advantages to that if he did do that. You know, you're also maybe sending him into a dangerous situation, too. You know, Proctor is very uncomfortable around Tommy, as we all have grown to see. So I think it's possible he shared it with Tommy, and maybe Ghost got it somewhere else, or maybe he told both of them.
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Pam.
So outside of Power, we wanted to just ask some other questions about some of the things that you have going on. My first question is, you know, once everyone knows that Jerry was on Entourage and he played Turtle. If you don't know that, then you know
you're under a rock.
But when Entourage started to take off and this show became such a part of pop culture, were you worried as an actor that you were not possibly going to be typecast and people would only see you as Turtle? Before, obviously, you started to do other movies and you became this role. But did you ever have a fear about it?
I mean, absolutely. Only because too, it's kind of what you know, growing up doing this at a rather young age. I mean, I started when I was like 18 years old. It's something you constantly hear about. So it was always in the back of, I think, all of our minds, especially, you know, if you go back, Entourage started in 2004, you know, so back then too, if you kind of did TV, you only really did TV. Right. And if you did movies, you only really did movies, and the two didn't really cross over. Well, now you know, cut to 15 years later. I mean, you have movie stars doing TV shows, you have TV stars doing movies, and some guys and girls are doing both and everything and podcasts. So like, all those old school kind of typecasting rules, I think, have been thrown out the window. I think if you're a lazy person who kind of likes to relax on what you have done in the past, I think it's a much more dangerous threat. I think if you're motivated and you enjoy what you do, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity to show people, you know, what you could do. Power, when it first started for me, was, you know, a couple of episodes, and then Courtney Kemp told me she had plan for the character, but I didn't know. So not that I took a big risk, but it was a chance for me to show a different side, and look what it led to. I mean, 5 years later, you know, I found myself on a show that, I mean, we just had the premiere at Madison Square Garden, 13,000 people. I don't think anyone will ever see anything like that again for a TV show.
Yeah.
I mean, Power is viewed like a sporting event. People were cheering, booing, screaming. Like, it makes people emotional. I don't know what it is, but so, and I guess also, if if typecasting really was a thing, and look, I get it, it is, but it sort of happened to me twice. So doesn't that kind of disprove the theory? It shouldn't really happen again. It should only happen once. Yeah. You're typecast. That's all you are. So now you cut to 15 years later. I'll walk down one street. People are screaming turtle. I'll cross over, go around the block. People are screaming proctor, and they don't even know about each other.
Wow.
That's what's kind of cool.
Yeah.
How did you get the part for Proctor?
That's a good story. So I had a meeting with Courtney Kemp way back in season one. And I think before season one started shooting, but I had read the pilot, and I think they were already picked up to go to the series. And we were talking about a different role, and for some reason it didn't happen, like, scheduling-wise. But she gave me the old line of, like, all right, well, I want to work with you. I'm going to write something for you one day. And it's like, I mean, I've heard that quite quite often in my career, and rarely did that ever come to be. And sure enough, and, you know, I watch all of season one of Power, and I'm like, oh, great, yeah, of course, the show's awesome. Like, I could have been on this show, and it didn't work out. She called a year later. She said, hey, I wrote this role. It's for the criminal defense attorney for Ghost. He hires you to go represent Tommy. It's not a whole lot of stuff in season two, but it's going somewhere. And then she laid out this plan. And I said, great, yeah, could you send me a scene? And then she sent me over, like, two scenes that were of, you know, her Courtney level awesome. And I was just in. I got on the plane. I flew to New York. I was shooting, like, 2 days later. And, again, you cut to 5 years from then. I mean, it's just been a wild, wild ride. I am so happy that I was a part of this show. I really do think it's a historic show.
It is.
For sure.
So, Jerry, if you don't know, we actually have a live chat going on in YouTube on every of our episodes. And the fans are watching right now. They're very excited to talk to you and ask you questions. And I have a couple of good ones. And great. I'm sorry, I cannot pronounce this name, but it's the POIUI 98 says, could Turtle, your character from Entourage, survive in the world of Power?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I think so. I think Turtle had some hustle in him. I mean, I don't know if he would have made it to the end. I'll say he would have survived a long time. I don't know if Turtle would have made it to the very, very end, because he might have just smoked too much weed and got killed.
Yeah, that's good. I have one more question, and this is from Original 24 that said, is there a real life lawyer that you studied or spoke to for this role? And if so, what advice or piece of information helped you the most to prepare for this role?
That's a really good question. I didn't get the chance to speak to anybody, but one of the things that Courtney and I bonded over when she was also telling me about the character was, I grew up in Brooklyn, and we had some similar interests, and she reminded me of way back in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, obviously, not to bring up names from that, but John Gotti, you know, the Teflon Don, as they called him, was constantly beating charges from the government. He had a lawyer, Bruce Cutler, I think his name was, who was very theatrical in the courtroom. Like, when he was defending his clients, it was like theater to this guy. He was big, over the top. He was a bully. He was a big guy. And she kind of used that as, like, an early example. And so anytime I was in those courtroom scenes, I just tried to be as big and over the top. And, you know, if a witness said something I didn't like, it was like I would literally just look horribly offended and try to really push buttons. So those courtroom scenes, which are always very tricky, became like theater for me. So that's a good question.
Nice.
Yeah. Old school, you know, mob attorneys back in the 80s were people who we looked at.
I have two questions. You mentioned earlier when I asked you about the casting process and how you got the role and how there was a different role that didn't work out. I have to be nosy because we found out that a lot of actors audition for different roles but wound up getting something else, like Shane Johnson went out for Tommy, but then he wound up getting the Cooper Sax role. So I have to be nosy. What was the role that you didn't get?
That's a good question. Oh, man. I'm going to have to get back to you. I'm really going to have to ask Courtney, because I'm trying, maybe it wasn't even about a specific role. It might have been more of a general meeting, like, I'll find something for you in this show. Or maybe it was. You know, we're going back now. This that was like 7 years ago. Mm. I'm a little old and sleep deprived because we have a 4-month-old sleeping in the other room who doesn't like to sleep too much.
And congratulations.
I will have to, if it comes to me, I'll spit it out before the end of this. I gotta think. The old man is getting tired right
now. I can see you as Greg. Yeah. I can see a Greg character.
Was it Greg?
Greg was creepy.
If it comes to me, I will say it, and I might even try to slip in a text to find out. Because now you got. I really can't remember.
Okay.
To me, it was always Proctor, but Proctor wasn't around in season one. Mm-hmm. So. Maybe she was going to bring Proctor in season one. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
I'll get back to you.
There's another question that someone asked on Instagram, @FlavorFlex. He wants to know, has Doug Ellen talked to you about a sequel to Entourage?
No, I mean, I think, like, jokingly, maybe every now and then, like, he'll say something like, oh, like, we'll see something in the news, and maybe he'll be like, oh, I write about this, we'll do it in the sequel. But, I mean... we've all gotten up there age-wise, you know. I don't think we could all be living together all in our 40s and some even older, you know. I think we had such a good run with Entourage, 8 years and a movie, almost 100 episodes. Like, I think we really did everything we could have possibly done with those characters. I mean, I wouldn't say no, because I love those guys, and it would be a great opportunity just to hang out with them and kind of do, like, a reunion tour. But I think we did all that we could do with those characters. We had a great run. Mm-hmm. So I think everybody's kind of like, yeah, we did it. Now let it live on. Let it go. Mm-hmm. Let it go rest a little.
Now, this is not a trick question, but I have to ask. So what's next for Jerry?
It's not a trick question, but it is a tricky question. Mm-hmm. I do have a show that I am producing with Courtney Kemp. I know I've brought her up a bunch of times because she's just one of my favorite writers of all time. So her and I sold the show to HBO, and nice. She's in the writing process right now and, like, the thick of it, doing what she does. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's steps that have to go to make sure that gets on the air. But going off her track record, I think it stands a really good shot. It's kind of set in the world of police corruption in New York. Mm. So she's gonna bring it. So hopefully that would be the next thing, which we would find out about real soon. But it's the life of an actor, man. I've had a great job for 5 years, and then, you know, it's over now. So it's like, oh, I really gotta go. I gotta get out there and clean myself up and look again. The good news about this is so I've been off for a few months. My son was born 4 months ago, so I really got a chance to spend a lot of time with him in these early days. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if I find myself on another show again working 50-60 hours, I'm gonna, like, look back at this time. If I really got 4 awesome months with him before, like, I'm just a stay-at-home dad right now, and I love it. I wish I could do just this. Great.
Congratulations.
That's awesome. Yeah, congratulations. As well,
thank
as
you.
You are still considered a newlywed, right? So congratulations to you and your wife.
Yeah, two years. I mean, it's flown by, but she is definitely the better half. As all you gotta do is look at my Instagram, you could tell she's the better half of this relationship.
Nice.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank you so much. It was a pleasure the couple of times that we've met you at different screenings and stuff for Power, and you were always so nice, and you took photographs with us, you stopped and you chatted with us, and we want to thank you so much, because we love your character and we love the work that you do, and we're really grateful that you had the time to stop and chat with us.
Well, I just want to take a couple of seconds and thank you guys, thank all the Power fans, like everybody who's a part of the Power universe, you mm-hmm. know. Going into this last season, everybody knew we have to deliver on this final season, because the amount of love and respect and also just, like, genuine joy watching this show that I've seen from the people who thoroughly enjoy it, I've really never seen anything like it. It's been the best part of the job. Mm-hmm. So I thank everybody out there listening. I thank you guys. Like, all this stuff matters a lot when getting the word out about a show. And I think after 6 years now, it's really, I mean, we're looking at it now, I really do think it's it's a historic show that people will be talking about for a long time, even after it's gone.
Yeah, we agree.
Yeah.
We agree. So well, thank you guys. Again.
Thank you, Jerry. We appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much. We'll talk
to you soon. Have a great, all right.
I will.
Have a good one.
All right, see you later. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Ow.
Wow.
Nice. Okay.
So much fun. So much fun to chat with him. But now, we got to get going. All right, so Drake's back. Agent Donovan's dead. Okay, so what are your thoughts on Drake Hill and Agent Donovan after protest?
Right to business, y'all. Right.
Yeah. Listen, well, we knew that was coming up, though.
The clock is winding down, and we got to go. So what's your thoughts on that? Some people thought that that was messed up, what Dre did. I say no, but, you know.
It is messed up, but he is a gangster. We know that from, he's a street dude. Mm-hmm. And so if you're thinking from the mind of a street dude, he's like, I have an opportunity right now to get out of here and not testify. So if you're looking at it from that vantage point, you can see and understand why he did that. But yeah, I was like, Dre, you're a buster for that. Like, that ain't cool. Like, he just took a bullet for you trying to save you and your daughter.
Right.
But I could understand why he did that as well.
Who was in his arms. She saw him shoot the gun and was like, what's happening?
Yeah.
Like, hello?
No, smeared, this your job? Smeared blood. I was like, oh my gosh.
Wait, really? So, really quickly, shout out to 50 in his first directorial debut
for Power. Yes, I think he did a great job
on this episode. Okay, go.
Yeah, Fosse, that's for Fosse.
Look, the direction and the script are two separate things.
So okay, because so, Bam always disagrees. Right. Okay, what's
with they said a lot.
What I will say about why it was necessary for Donovan to die is Dre's a street dude. He does not like cops. And then on top of that, the fact that he couldn't safely get him to where he needed to be, The all of the agents in the task force, it's like the Real Housewives of New York. They gossip. Nobody can ever keep a secret.
Mm-hmm.
No one can ever keep a secret. So Cooper didn't know. He found out through the dude who was messing with Angela last season.
Steven
Tapio. And so now they're just a couple minutes away, and now all of a sudden everybody comes, you know, after Dre. Like, there's too many leaks. Dre had to kill him and go about his business. And then on top of that, you insult the man by telling him that he's an awful daddy. The look on his face when he told him, when he questioned something about him, and then the look that Dre gave him, like, are you real? Seriously?
I mean, but he wasn't very good. I mean,
No, he's not. But, you know, but a person's ego is everything. So I felt that it was necessary for him to go. But, I mean, you know, I like Ty.
Yeah, Ty is a good dude. Yeah, he's sorry to see him go, but
shout
I know
out to you, Ty.
He's consistently working and doing all that stuff, so you know, he'll be good.
Okay, so Cooper Sacks and Blanca and Dre. So Cooper Sacks, I put as he's a putz. You know, I think Dre will probably kill Cooper before someone kills them. He's made it completely personal. And Blanca basically gave the full rundown of what she thinks happened. She's right as rain, and Cooper's like, nope, Ghost did it.
She's right, except for the fact that she still believes that Ghost killed Angela.
But as far as the breakdown of it, and
she said what the alternate scenario is. But I mean, I think out of all of these people, I think Cooper gonna be one of the last men standing.
I think so too.
I don't think Dre getting out and him having this now internal beef with Dre has anything to do with that. Cooper has been consistently the only one who has played each and every side successfully. So for that reason alone, I think Cooper is going to last to the end. Now, who they think actually killed Angela, we'll see. But I don't think Dre getting out and him having that stand down with Cooper is going to do anything for Cooper.
Okay.
Dre got bigger fish to worry about. He out on the streets. He back on the streets.
Really, really, really.
Yeah, seriously.
So Tasha Tariq Ghost in The Next Generation.
Ooh.
Cornelia.
I mean, what we know about Power Book 2 is factual, and we're all assuming because we haven't really heard much. It does seem like it's set up for this new regime to be the continuation of what they already started. However, I just got a problem with that little white boy being Tommy. If that's the new Tommy, then the host.
But you also,
like, is that the new Tommy?
But you also have to remember that Tommy just didn't wake up and all of a sudden become this hood dude, because you have to remember, Ghost taught him everything. He used to get beat up. He got
protected
bullied.
Him, right?
He protected him. And also, I don't know how this is going to sound, but a white person surrounding himself by black people, it's a buildup for you to become.
But they had choked. Like, I hear you. Uh-huh. But when Tommy got beat up, he was in Elmhurst. Like,
JFK went to choke.
Right, but it's a different setting. I think I'll be interested to see that character, the new Tommy, if he's the new Tommy at all, because he could just be this little pawn. Maybe he's setting up maybe he's gonna give him some connect or something that he needs and then disappear. Who knows?
I feel like he has a lot of Tommy ways about him. He's very impulsive. I see some similarities with him. And then also when you think about when I don't know, just Tommy Jr. I don't know what his name is. I'm sorry, but little Jr. So little Jr. brings his rich white friends in and Coach Jr., Tariq, basically has to check him on the things. Let's be real. Tommy's not a boss, right? Mm-hmm. So Ghost teaches him everything. And prior to their breakup, Ghost is always having to play that big brother, checking him about the things that he needs to do. So
I mean, I can see it. Yeah. To me, I trust that it wouldn't be that obvious. Like, you know, a part of me is like, I hope it wouldn't be this blatant, right? Like, this is a new Tommy. This, even though that's what it is.
I believe, and me, I think, too. All of the internet has caught on said that, but I don't think it's as obvious as like he's got to have exactly what Tommy has, like every single trait. I don't think it's got to be that obvious. We just kind of see it for what it is. Like, makes sense.
What's your take on Tasha Jr.?
On Effie. So Effie is either the feds, a plant, or. When she was talking about how her brother was killed not too long ago, it got me started to thinking, like, was her brother the one that Ray Ray shot? Like, was he in? Because she's always asking about the connect. And that makes me concerned, because why are you this girl that was so anti the streets and what that represented? Maybe it's because of her brother's death. Always wanting to know where the drugs are coming from. Why are you that curious? But then I'm also wondering, on the flip side, is her brother somehow connected to Ray Ray or those licks that they were doing? Is that how he got shot?
You know what? And that could be, Jill. I just don't know that they have time to do all of that in this season. Right?
But then, like, that's why Power Book 2.
Yeah. I mean, like, it could, you know,
tell us
out.
What,
like,
it is, we might then explore.
Yeah. Maybe. I just think that it's going a different route. I think that she wants to know the game. She wants to, sort of like Tasha. I mean, hey, we're doing all the comparisons here. I think it's kind of like that. Like, let me ask questions because I want to be in on this. I want to, you know, be with you on this.
Mm-hmm. And Tasha knew to connect. Tasha,
exactly.
If they're staying consistent with who they're mom character is. Tasha knew to connect. Tasha knew how the business was ran. She knew who ran each set. She knew everything. She knew how to clean the money.
And I also feel that because they got rid of Kane and Pills all in one day, but it's possible. It's possible, because you know Ryan has been like drugs. But it's possible. So they got rid of all the drugs, and now he has no connect. He has no access to the drugs. And now she possibly, I mean, I don't know what part of New York she's from, but she might be the connect to the drugs and the connect to Tariq's heart.
I think the connect is Tommy. Because Tommy, people, they don't show us things for no reason. And the fact that Tommy took Lala or Tasha, Keisha, into the warehouse and told her specifically all of the drugs that eventually Tariq and his roommate and baby Tasha were talking about, I didn't see that as a coincidence, because they have everything that they're selling
that
right
they
there.
Need. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they need some more outlets.
They need more outlets, exactly. So
Reed Dalla says, I don't trust Effie. Do we all agree there? Or do you not?
I trust Effie.
I don't, because I don't know if it's the writing, but to go from self-righteous to desperate in 2 minutes, to me, I don't want to blame it on the writing.
But that's what they told us about Tasha. Tasha was going to accounting school, and she was about her business.
That's true.
She was in the car with Ghost that got pulled over, and she hit the gun for Ghost. It wasn't him pressuring her. It wasn't no switcheroo. It was her being like, okay, I'm just going to be down with you. Forget accounting school.
Speaking of Tasha and Ghost.
Forget it.
Speaking of Tasha and Ghost, really quick. So Tasha, it feels underappreciated. So she's at the new apartment. Mm-hmm. Tariq is not feeling the vibe. She's pissed. And then he puts the money on the table. She's like, where you get this from? Mm-hmm. Tariq lies and says that it's from Kanan. And then right as she's getting ready to go off and reveal the information, which I keep saying, just tell the boy. But Ghost knocks on the door. And now all of a sudden, because there's a power struggle between the two of them, they got to butt heads, and they completely forget that completely forgets that Tariq has a lot of money on the table to offer her. Thoughts?
I don't have none.
Okay. Yes. All right, so hit it. Ghost.
That'll unfold, yeah. I think, at some point in time. Let's talk about Tommy and Ghost, but for a split second, I do want to talk about Tommy and his interactions with Lakeisha and this whole thing. Oh. It just bothers me. Everything in me says this is wrong. I don't like how it's going down. Like, them getting out the car, and he's got this smirk. He goes around, opens her door. She steps out.
She's
like,
giving her best Beyonce from the Diva video moment.
She is completely laced.
From head to toe. But you know what? Trip. What's the first thing she said? Please, notes come together. The first thing she said is, I don't know if I'm ready for all this, Tommy.
Of course
she
is.
That's the first thing out of her mouth. Yeah, we know this. Mm-hmm. So it's like this, it just doesn't belong. I don't like that he's bringing her in, and she's very reluctant to do so. She does it, obviously, with the whole scene at the court. But I don't like that.
Well, Keisha's toast. Yeah, I mean,
Keisha's toast.
And we're
is Keisha's she possibly, because I wonder, is she a snitch or will she become a snitch?
That makes her toast too.
Yeah. I think she's really trying to just be down for Tommy.
I think, I don't think this is going to end well, but I think the problem is she's still chasing Tasha. Mm-hmm. These are all of the things that Tasha has done.
Yeah.
So the fact that she wants the bag, she wants that lifestyle, she want to be Tasha and go so bad to the point where she's like, I'll do it. I'll do whatever you want. Yeah. And unfortunately, now she's talking about she gonna clean the money at the hair salon. So
yeah.
And he's trusting her to do that. How do you know she knows how to do it correctly?
You also have to remember, Tommy, like I always said, Tommy's not a boss, right? He has his whole goon squad around him, and he does not know how to. He doesn't have the mm-hmm, what mm-hmm. Ghost has. So he is. So because he knows how to. He's basically controlling Keisha, but you also have to remember, everybody that gets with Tommy dies.
Indeed.
Yeah, he's controlling her, but he's using Tasha's information to control her, but he's using Keisha. Like, he's playing both of them. Yeah. He's actually playing both of them. Like, you can hear what he says to Keisha. He's like, yeah, fuck that bitch. You know what I'm saying? And then to Tasha, he's saying another thing about, like, yeah, Keisha's got to get on board, like, you know, or whatever. So he's playing both of them, which I guess is smart. Maybe he learned that from Ghost. He learned a little bit of street. Mm-hmm. But there's a scene, a very powerful scene that we could talk about. I know we're skipping around, but guys, we're running late on time, so I'm just gonna jump to it. We know that Jason set both of them up to deliver Alicia Jimenez, right?
Yes.
Well, Ghost thought it was really smart, and I actually think that this might come to fruition at some point, where he thought it was smart to call Tommy and say, you know, let's cut our losses.
I told y'all.
I think that it was a smart move on his for him to do. There's something else that I wanted to point out. Did you guys notice when that phone call happened, the complete contrast between the two of them? Ghost has a nice refreshing beverage or drink in his hand, mm-hmm. and he's got the city life going on. It's the good boy status. It's like, you know, the money. It represents the business, the clean life. And then he's calling Tommy, who is he's that beautiful scene. I don't know where it is, like under the bridge or something, where you're overlooking the city. Mm-hmm. It just represents street life.
Yeah.
And so the contrast between the two of them, I just thought was beautifully shot. And, you know, I guess we got to give it to 50 on that.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that ultimately that's, because I think the fans really miss that, mm-hmm. you know, the two of them together riding for something like that. Do you think it'll happen that way?
I think Ghost will eventually have to kill Jason by himself. And then once he kills Jason, you know, Tommy then doesn't have a distro. So then will he go to his daddy's side of the people, the Italians? So that's going to force Tommy to have to figure something else out, because he refuses to have to work with Ghost. So, and because the two of them are in this contest, you know, Ghost is a smarter one. And, you know, when you do dirt by yourself, you tend not to get caught.
I just have a feeling that at the end of the day, yes, they're upset with each other to the point where they try to kill each other. Mm-hmm. But when you ask possibly Ghost, not Tommy, either Jason or Tommy, kill either one, he's going to kill Jason. So I don't necessarily think... I think the redemption is going to come not by force, but just by sheer nature of their relationship. Okay. So I wouldn't be surprised if a Ghost killed Jason because he was trying to save Tommy or something of that dynamic.
Oh,
but
okay.
Them coming together and at this point, to me, it's too soon. So when Ghost called him and said, let's do this together, I was like, well, we're only on episode 3. No. Yeah. Y'all need to beef a little longer. Mm-hmm. Try to kill him one more time. And then we can talk
Rejoice.
About it.
I can't. Cornelius, you can't.
Try to kill him again. Like, we
try to kill him again.
Get him again. Stab him. Right. And then we good.
So, really quickly, I think, do we all agree that the kidnapping scene was garbage?
Yes.
Trash.
Unrealistic.
Trash.
How's Ghost in his little dad cap coming in by yourself? What are you going to do? Shake him with your screwdriver and your maintenance thing? Tommy had the better plan.
I wish we knew what his plan was.
And see, that's my thing. I don't know if Ghost necessarily had the plan. I think that Ghost was probably just going to get Alicia, kill her, go back to
Jason. How was he
going to
get her out, though? You're in a federal building with Cam.
And that's what Jason wanted. He wanted her delivered.
I know that, Ghost is not necessarily trying to take orders from him in that type of way, because he's trying to get Ghost to be a part of the game of the drug thing, and Ghost is not having it.
I don't think he would have killed her because he owes him money.
But how else? What is he going to do? Lock her, tiger up in the van?
That's what we'll never know.
We'll never know.
To me, it seemed like that was the point of the scene. To show for once, Ghost Tommy had the better plan.
Exactly.
That Ghost came up in there with a bag and a wrench and thought he was going to really do some damage. And we see.
And that actually
in the parking lot when they crossed paths and Ghost looked at Tommy, he kind of looked at him like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And shout out to Tommy going back to his Teresi roots. Remember, they were going to start an ambulance company together.
Oh, okay. But super quickly, did you see, like, that was actually something that Tommy pointed out to Ghost. He said, that's why you lost, because you don't have anybody. Like, you ain't got nobody. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was like a direct thing that we all feel. You know?
He did, but then he also mentioned that when Ghost says that you need me, or that I'm better than you.
Yeah.
Tommy also acknowledged that, but then turned it around with, as you said. Anything else?
No. Let's move on.
Okay. Hit it.
Councilman Tate, Cassandra.
Derek. This is gonna be good.
First of all, happy birthday, Lorenz Tate. Yeah. Yesterday we got the birthday treat. maybe not, depending upon who you ask. Cassandra and Tate having that little affair, that sex scene was rather extended, no? And a lot of conversation during it. But, you know,
that sex scene made me uncomfortable.
It did.
It did. I was like, it ain't nothing sexy about this, in my opinion.
That's why they did that, because all of a sudden, Councilman Frankie Lyman went from being Councilman Frankie Lyman
to banging out his age wife.
Councilman Old Dog. Like, he legit went from two different people. And I feel like they stretching out these violent scenes or these sexual scenes to show us, like, oh, no, this is who he is.
He's in the street.
Remember, it was an extended grinding scene where he was beating a white boy up in the office. Now we had an extended sex
now
scene.
Now he's having sex with his wife. What in the... It's crazy. And then, let's talk about really quickly her telling her husband, well, he apologized and poo-pooing him. Clearly, you are just a speed bump and she has higher aspirations.
I mean, completely. You can see the subtext. So, Cassandra, obviously, is married to Derek. He's kind of like a Cyrus Bean. So she's using him to it's a power position. She's clearly with him for a better gain. Mm-hmm. She said to him, this campaign is bigger than you, so much bigger than you. So she has ulterior motives. And she's with Derek simply for that.
Yeah.
But he got fired, didn't he? He was on the outs, no,
he was never fired. He just got put back in his place with violence.
And then you have the other DNC lady,
Ramona
Garrity, who comes into the place, and now she and Ghost have some type of thing, and now Ghost is going to F her in order to control Tate.
How you know?
We can see it.
Tell he's checking for her. She's checking for him too. But maybe Ghost learned his lesson from what happened last season, or was it the season before?
No, that was Garcelle.
Yeah, where he played himself out of position in a situation with Councilman Tate. Maybe not though.
Yeah, well, maybe it's just not that deep. Maybe power writers know that we like sex on power, and they got to have somebody to do it.
There's
over Angie. Yes. Let's not those feelings. Do you guys miss Angie? Does anybody miss Angie really quick? Do we feel like she's missing?
You know, I miss Angela being the root of the drama. I don't miss her. But now that she's gone, I'm like, well, then now who's going to cause trouble?
All right. Okay.
fair enough. Anything else?
Okay, wait. So regarding Ramona and Tate, what do we know about that?
We know that she works for the DNC. Her mm-hmm. husband was, what, a member of Congress, Senate, something like that, cheated with some hookers and some video, and she's a little bitter. But she is, for whatever reason, it sounds like the DNC would like him to be governor.
Yes. So do you think, based off of the conversation that they were having when it was Ramona, Tate, and Tasha at the dinner table?
Another power go ahead.
Yeah, struggle, right? Power struggle. Yeah. Okay, so do we think that there's a pass between Ramona and Councilman Tate?
I don't.
No, I think that, mm-hmm. you think so?
I think so. I think something might come of it. What was the line that was said? Notes don't fail me. Basically, she was talking about when your past, like being something going wrong with your past, but it creates opportunities. And she looked directly at Tate, and it was something that they knew between the two of them. And then Tasha caught it. She was looking at both of them like, what's going on?
She did.
Yeah, so I think that there's something there that we just don't know about that will possibly come up, and that could be something that... maybe a power struggle between Tate and Ghost, because he's going to be smashing her, and maybe Tate had already smashed. I don't know.
But I also think that Ramona clearly runs and controls Tate, and yeah. Once Ghost comes into the picture, I think it's going to cause division between the two.
Yeah. Sorry. Just mm-hmm. Your question, mm-hmm. Jill. If we missed Angela, and Angel Wood said no one cares about Angela. Don't miss that bony chick at all.
Oh, okay. All right.
Is there anything else am I missing?
Really quick, Tasha and her mom. So Tasha, yes. No, it would not be fun for your mama to run the daycare by herself. Mm-hmm. A great way to clean mm-hmm. money. Tasha, you know, seeing that cash flow in there, that mm-hmm. was pretty interesting. Mom, you need to get a job too, not depend on your daughter and the ex-drug dealer husband to care
yeah.
for you.
Yeah, but now it's clear, all the things that she's ever said to Tasha in the past, she's making it very clear now. This is why she felt like Tasha needs to work it out, because mm-hmm. she wouldn't have to work either.
Right.
Well,
yeah,
she's
and
gonna be babysitting now,
and
so.
eventually yeah. she's gonna get on board with this, because when Tasha presents to her that this is a financial gain, she's gonna be completely with it.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Okay, so what's up, Cornelia?
Hi.
How you doing?
Fantastic.
Okay, so we have this new segment where we have top moments of the AfterBuzz Power After Show.
Past six seasons,
and so now let's drop this clip for this week's top moment.
Cold piece of the week for episode 9 of season 2 of Power goes to Kanan, obviously. I don't think anybody is in disagreement with this. And I made a list of the things that Kanan was a piece of shit for. He was terrorizing the community as soon as he got out of prison with that Pelly Pell coat on. He was responsible for pink sneakers and the whole situation with her. Popping up on Tasha like some dude that sent the hey you text that be hitting you up on your cell phone. He disappeared and came back on the Chinatown bus. Cold for that. He cut Dre's friend's tongue out. He shattered Dre's poor little dreams about getting off the block. He killed his own son. He killed his own son after sending him out to kill Ghost because, like Sean said, you just a bitter old thug. And now, Dre, you gonna get the cold piece set because you still hanging with this dude. He gonna kill you too. So let us know online who your cold piece is. Well, Dre's still alive, so yeah. He, 50 left the Pelly Pell coat behind. It burned in the fire.
The bedazzle, then he turned into
Freddy Krueger.
Right.
So for old time's sake, drop us with this week's cold piece of the week.
Lord. What episode is this?
Three.
Cold piece of the week for Power, season 6, episode 3 goes to Dre's daughter. Dre's daughter survived an ambush. She survived a federal raid. She got another black man. She got another brother's blood splashed on her face, peeked over the hood, and was like, Throughout all of this, she ended up unscathed. Flash forward to the train station where she just moseying along. They're talking about spelling words in her first day of kindergarten. So for that reason, I would like to give cold piece of the week to Dre's daughter, who I just found out her name is Heaven, the
yes.
character.
Uh-huh.
So shout out to Heaven for being and scorned and battered and needing therapy for the rest of her life.
Without shedding a tear.
Exactly.
You know what? People talked about that. She shed two tears after the first shootout, and then once Dre took the baby, she let out two cries, and then when Dre killed Donovan, nothing.
Hey, she's a baby G.
Right.
Her father's child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now let's go into predictions.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Who started it out?
Bam, you always go last. Yes. So go
right.
first.
Go first.
Okay, so I've said many times before that Tate dies. Would you like to know why I heard that he dies?
Okay.
Okay, so if you don't want to hear this, just mute it, and then when you see me throw the thumbs up, then you can turn me back up. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when we were in New York, when I was waiting for you guys to come downstairs after you guys were doing the red carpet, I talked to this guy who was a background actor. Mm-hmm. And he said that he did some show called Power. At the time, he didn't know what the show was, that he was asked to do this role. And the scene that he shot was...
Spoiler alert!
Oh. was of some council person that got shot, and there was a reporter. The scene was a reporter was reporting the death outside of some club. Mm. So I think that it's obviously Tate, but as far as who killed Tate, I think it could be Derek, the husband, once he finds out.
Yeah.
Once he finds out, because Tate already beat his ass.
Mm-hmm.
And now you effing his girl.
Mm. Mm. Interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've always thought. Okay.
Back up.
So I've always thought that Tate was gonna die. But as far as who kills him, I think it's Derek.
Interesting.
And then I'll leave. I have plenty more, but
that's a hell of a prediction. Yeah. But what if it's Ghost? Because
I think it could be Ghost. Because as you said, the whole now he's becoming a politician, and so I think it would be really cool if one more prediction.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be really cool if everybody died except for Ghost and Tasha, and then they get back
to the main two that need to die.
But they get back together. Tasha obviously realizes that life is not what it's about. The two of them stay together.
Mm-hmm.
But then Tariq decides, nah, I'm cool, I'm staying in his drug life, and now they have to deal with their son.
Mm.
But Ghost dies at the end of the series, is my opinion. Alright, I'm done.
I'm gonna let everybody else go. I'll skip my predictions. I gave them kind of earlier.
Okay, yeah, and I said one of mine. I definitely think that Ramona's gonna be the new love interest, and she could possibly be somewhat of what gets involved between Tate and Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so much more to be, you know, at odds about. And then I do want to say that Ghost and Tommy will partner up. We've seen it before, and maybe it's old, but I mean, maybe it's just something in me that wants that to happen. So I'm gonna leave it there.
For my predictions, I actually think Councilman Frankie Lyman will continue on and be one of the anchors in the new show, because I don't see them stretching out this character this past season and showing us who he used to be. Keep mentioning this damn Please Child project,
yeah,
and just leaving it be. Mm-hmm. There has to be some element of Raina's legacy in that left for me, in my
Stern.
Opinion, to carry over.
Sorry, oh. Stern.
Yeah, Stern.
So I feel like that he is going to be one of the players in the next one. I think at the very end, I think all of them have to die, especially. I think Tommy might go to jail because he ain't snitching on nobody. He already said that. And I think Ghost has to die. I actually think Tariq will kill Ghost.
Yeah, that's what I think too.
Ooh, I don't like it.
There was foreshadowing in that when Ghost told him, in the like with the fake hug Tariq gave him, everything I have goes to you. Just saying.
Yeah. And because Kanan killed his son, now Tariq, yeah.
And then there was another foreshadowing moment when Alicia told Jason right before she was killed, which was a very awesome, gruesome killing, by the way. But she said, whoever did this to me will betray you too. So that
Shout
would
out
say
to
Tommy.
Alicia's pink suit. Anyway.
Yeah. So that would leave Tommy. That's who she's talking about. So maybe.
Do you have it?
We rap? No.
I did. Okay. Yep.
It's so hard to, just really quick, it's so hard to figure out who you think is going to die, because Courtney, they all got production deals with the network. So it's like, you don't know if there's a spinoff. Are they going to do a prequel? They have so many deals. It's kind of hard to figure out who you think is going to die and then who is going to continue.
I think everybody at some point is just going
to
die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's a street show and it's true to the streets, they have to die.
Yep.
They have to.
Yep.
Cornelia. Let everybody know what you've been up to and where you could be found.
Well, you can find me across the board at Cornelia on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can check me out. I got shows if you're in the LA area coming up at Kenelia.com. That's like Kenny Endophilian. Also, still got the podcast Happy Hour. Make sure you guys check us out on iTunes and all apps where podcasts can be heard. Happy Hour, a shot of conversation. And I'm just out here in the streets, you know, just doing
We miss Kenelia. Thank you so much for being back here today. You can catch me at Robin Ayers on all of my social media platforms. Catch some of my dope quotes out there on my Instagram page.
I'll be
laying nuggets.
Evangelist.
Nuggets. But also, you guys can check us out at Power After Plug on Instagram as well.
I'm Jill Monroe. Hit me up at Stiletto Jill. Shout out to Kenelia for coming in and blessing us with her presence. I know you guys are happy about that. And yeah, at Stiletto Jill everywhere.
And you can find me on all social media at Bam Erickson. Thank you to our Kenelia, who stepped in for Jimmy. If you don't know, go back and watch some of the old Power After shows. But Kenelia was a part of season two and three. And we want to also thank our special guest, Jerry Ferrer, who plays Joe Proctor. And next week,
yeah,
Avery Mason, who plays Black Grimace, will be joining us. So I can't wait to talk to him because
don't miss it. He only got one kidney, y'all.
We need to find out about this kidney, brother.
I can't.
See you guys next week.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.